me what he wanted to say. I stood and followed him. He opened the inner door and guided me through it. Beyond the door was a small kitchen and basin, and beyond that yet another room, much like the reception room in which I had been sitting, but a size smaller. It had the same kind of well-aged leather sofa and a window of the same shape. The carpet on the floor was the same color as the other one as well. In the middle of the room was a large workbench with scissors, toolboxes, pencils, and design books laid out in an orderly fashion. There were two tailor's dummies. The window had not merely a blind, but two sets of curtains, cloth and lace, both shut tight. With the ceiling light off, the room was gloomy, as on the evening of a cloudy day. One bulb of the floor lamp near the sofa had been turned off. A glass vase holding gladiolus blossoms stood on the coffee table in front of the sofa. The flowers were fresh, as if cut only moments before, the water in the vase clear. The music was not audible in this room, nor were there any pictures or clocks on the walls. The young man gestured silently again, this time for me to sit on the sofa. Once I had seated myself in accordance with his instructions, he took something like a pair of swimming goggles from his trousers pocket and stretched them out before my eyes. They were swimming goggles, just ordinary goggles made of rubber and plastic, much the same as the ones I used when swimming in the ward pool. Why he had brought them out here, I had no idea. I couldn't even imagine.
"Don't be afraid," the young man said to me.
Properly speaking, he said nothing. He simply moved his lips and fingers ever so slightly. Still, I had an accurate understanding of what he was saying to me. I nodded.
"Please put these on. Don't take them off yourself. I will take them off. You mustn't move them either. Do you understand?"
I nodded again.
"I will not harm you in any way. You will be fine. Don't worry."
I nodded. The young man walked behind the sofa and put the goggles over my eyes. He stretched the rubber strap around to the back of my head and adjusted the eye cups so that the foam pads fitted around my eyes. The one way these goggles were different from the ones I always used was that I couldn't see anything through them. A thick layer of something had been painted over the transparent plastic. A complete and artificial darkness surrounded me. I couldn't see a thing. I had no idea where the light of the floor lamp was shining. I had the illusion that I myself had been painted over with a thick layer of something. The young man rested his hands lightly on my shoulders, as if to encourage me. He had slim, delicate fingers, but they were in no way fragile. They had the assertive presence of the fingers of a pianist resting on the keyboard, and coming through them I could sense a kind of goodwill, or if not precisely goodwill, something very close to it.
"You'll be fine. Don't worry,"
they conveyed to me. I nodded. Then he left the room. In the darkness, I could hear his footsteps drawing into the distance, and then the sound of a door opening and closing. I went on sitting in the same position for some time after the young man left the room. The darkness in which I sat had something strange about it. The fact of being unable to see anything was the same as what I had experienced in the well, but otherwise this darkness had a certain quality that made it quite different. It had no direction or depth, no weight or tangibility. It was less like darkness than nothingness. I had merely been rendered temporarily blind by artificial means. I felt my muscles stiffening, my mouth and throat going dry. What was going to happen to me? But then I recalled the touch of the young man's fingers.
"Don't worry," they had told me.
For no clear reason, I felt that those words of his were something I could believe in. The room was so utterly still that when I held my breath, I was overcome by a sense that the world had stopped in its tracks and everything would in time be swallowed up by water, sinking to eternal depths. But no, the world was apparently still moving. Before long, woman opened the door and stepped quietly.